Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiya, before we get into this podcast, please consider joining us on Red Men Plus. We have tons of amazing content coming out every single day in both podcast and video form. So get over there and sign up today. Now back to your podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men Podcast. Steve Hoare here with Dan Club and Steve Plunk. Before we start, I always forget to do this. If you're watching this right now live on Twitter, click in the link, come and join us over on YouTube and get involved in the live chat. We'll see you there. You're probably wondering, where's Chris, where's Paul? Well, if you checked our socials over the last few weeks, you'll know by now they're in America. I think they might be on the way home or about to depart. I mean, they've been to the west coast of LA, the LA region, and then for some reason the world allowed Chris Page to get loose in Vegas. So, yeah, my goodness gracious me. Next week's podcast extra. I know the saying is, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I understand that. But what happens in Vegas, we'll discuss on next week's podcast extra, because I've had social media, I've had WhatsApps, I've had texts, and yeah, it looks like it's been carnage for them. So fair play, but I am glad to say two of our new signings, Dan and Steve, are here with me, lads. Welcome. Kickoff question. Let's just get straight into it. And for all you lot who moan all the time that the footy chat doesn't start until like 15 minutes into the podcast, we're going to do a footy one just for you. So Arvid Palman. Apologies for butchered your name there, Paul. Says, what's your favourite stoppage time winner under Jurgen Klopp? But it can't be Origi versus Everton. I'll go for you first, Dan.
Yeah, I think the caveat of not being Origi versus Everton was a necessity in there.
It would have fallen.
Because it would have just been, yeah, it would have been probably a free-for-all on that, like, 100%. I've been sort of toying with a few on this, but I've ended up on, and I hope I don't steal anyone's thunder, Sadio Mane, Aston Villa.
Good goal.
Obviously, Robertson scores just minutes earlier. I was there, which probably gives it a little bit more oomph in my memory. Obviously, sort of pursuing the title, every point counted at that point. We were behind.
That's when we won the league that day.
Yeah, obviously, probably. But it felt like we needed to continue winning because City, we all know what they are. So, yeah, we were behind for so long in the game. It felt like one of them frustrating games, really, where it wasn't really going to happen. So, and it was right in front of us in the away end.
Didn't
and
Bobby have the offside by his arm?
Offside, yeah, that was in the first half. That was ruled out, yeah. So, and like I said, the Mane goal was the Robertson one was in front of us, but it was at the back post where Sadio Mane gets his flick on the front post. And I mean, I was looking at it. You know, when you're there and sometimes you see stuff, but you don't quite see stuff. I saw that goal, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that would be the one for me.
There's been some big away ends at Aston Villa. I was there the season just gone when we come from 1-0 down to beat them. Yeah. And I remember being there for when Ricky Lambert scored and he's in the crowd.
Yeah.
That section where Villa put you.
It can be a boss section.
When you do well there, it's an amazing one.
I went there away. My uncle said, I've got some tickets for Villa. Put us in the halt end, didn't he? Thanks very much. The Villa's version of the cop. And it was the Ronnie Rosenthal round the keeper at the bar game.
Dean
Saunders scored twice on his home debut for them after we'd told him, because he couldn't do what we needed him to do. So, yeah, enjoy. When Mark Walters scored a great volley. I had hands in the pocket celebration for the fear of getting filled in by the Villa faithful, mate. So we've all got memories of Villa Park. Good ground to go to be fair.
Yeah, it's good. What's
your favourite injury time goal?
So this is a large heavy metal football orientation and European football under the lights, and for me it's Dejan Lovren against Dortmund, mate. You know, it's when Aubameyang scores and then Royce scores, you don't see us getting back into that game, and we just went for it, didn't we? It was like, you know, sod it, let's just go for it, like. And Sacco scores and then Lovren scores the header, and it's his face as he runs away to celebrate. So I would give that for me. I've always been a lover of Champions League football, and that's right up there with a home game in terms of turning a tie around and an end of game goal.
I always think, like, if we'd have won and beat Bale in that final, it might be, it would even go one more. When the fact that you, like, goals when you're on the way to winning stuff mean that much better. If we'd have went and won that Europa League, I'm with you, it could have been better. But that was an amazing one. Got a few shout outs in the live chat. Thank you to Mr. MH, who mentioned the obvious one, Alisson versus West Brom. Yeah, the issue with that was that it's lockdown season, and I always think when I'm in these situations, if I can, I always try and go for one. Whereas there, he also mentions Lallana v Norwich.
Great one.
Heavy metal football, that one.
Klopp again. Glasses as well. Yeah, the celebration was boss.
Mine's Mane at...
Giving it that money.
Mine's Mane at Goodison.
Off the post.
Yeah.
Because I was in that one.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just before Christmas, it was around my birthday, and I remember it was fucking freezing.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a dog of a game. Yeah, and then I've told this story before, but all I remember is that some Evertonian threw a bovril at us, and it went all over me suede. I like suedey type Adidas trainees, like material ones. Yeah. Got home and they were fucking ruined with bovril, but it was not ours because it was fucking brilliant. And the flair comes over and stuff. Yeah, so man's Mane, but yeah, there's absolute brilliant ones as well. So yeah, there you go. Let us know if you're not watching this live. Use the YouTube comment section below, or if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can tweet us at the Redmen TV. Your favourite injury time winner or stoppage time winner? What's the exact? Let's get the wording correct. Stoppage time winner under Jurgen Klopp, excluding Origi versus Everton. In fact, what you're doing? Why you guys who are watching us live have a little think of your own ones? Do let us know in the live chat right now, and you can do that while we go to this quick break, and we'll get some more of those answers after these quick messages.
Are you a fan of the content we produce here in podcast form? Do you love Red Men goodness in your ears on a regular occasion? Do you want to know more on and off the field info about Liverpool Football Club? Get closer to the culture of the city and the club? Well, you can do. Red Men Plus podcasts are now available to subscribe to on Spotify. Yes, we are taking the podcast section from Red Men Plus and making it available as a standalone subscription here on Spotify, so you don't need to jump over. You can continue to listen to all of our content in the Spotify app. It is available for £5 and you get full access to all of those shows each and every week, and a whole host of extra content as well.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, there you have it. You want to get involved? German Scout is our newest documentary. We'll be streaming live at 5 p.m. UK time on Wednesday the 21st, which at time recording is tomorrow. If you're listening to this after Wednesday, it was in the past and it's already available for you right now. So yeah, basically some really big names talking about the special link, obviously, between Liverpool the Football Club and Liverpool the City and German culture, Germany. Really, really good stuff. So get yourselves involved with that one. I'm sure you won't regret it. Redmenplus.com, sign up, and like I say, yeah, 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Before we went, I asked a couple more of you guys to let us know about your favourite stoppage time goals under Jurgen Klopp. Who have we got here? We've got Salah versus Spurs, says Ashley Frith. Alisson versus West Brom, again from James. Ashley says, Matip's goal the other day, we don't win that game against Ajax in the group stage, becomes tough. Unfortunately, Ashley, producer Joe informed us that was at the 89th minute. So it's null and void, unfortunately. It does not count as a stoppage time winner. Although, Carvalho very much does. And then Bjorn says, Collymore versus Newcastle again, other than the fact that it wasn't under Jurgen Klopp.
Good effort, though.
It was a good goal, but it's got to go. It cannot be counted. So yeah, there we go. Thanks all you guys for getting involved. Right, then let's talk about the actual Reds now, Dan. I'll come to you first. Just want to talk, basically, I'll say the title of this podcast is Take a Break, and we're all very much taking a break. We were enforced to take a break over the weekend, but but this is the break that we were meant to have. Yeah. it happened to be longer for all the reasons around the state funeral and things like that. But usually international breaks I find very, very annoying. I think that they always come at the wrong time and you're always like, oh, you're bored. And it feels like for a number of reasons, this has come at a good time for everybody, including the fan base, but more so Liverpool. And with the injury list, it does feel like this potentially could be a welcome break for the Reds.
Yeah, I think so. I think there was definitely something. Well, something has been clicking, has it, all season long, essentially, literally from sort of the get-go with that Fulham game, obviously. So we are going through, I don't want to call it a transition because I don't believe it is, but we are going through changes in the way we play. And we are trying to implement a slightly new style with new faces, obviously, particularly in Darwin Nunez. And it does feel as though whatever happened in pre-season, it hasn't quite gelled yet, it hasn't quite clicked together yet, for whatever reason that is. So I think having more time to work on things, whether it be Klopp and his staff working on stuff, because obviously they're not going away to play, whether they just need to work on something, just to tweak something, so when we come back into action, it does work better, because things just aren't clicking at the moment. And obviously you mentioned, that's more of a tactical point of view, there's obviously injury issues as well to throw into that mix with key players missing all the time. And even that felt a little bit relentless, because we would get a couple of players back, for instance, Thiago coming back and we're all buzzing. Then Andy Robertson does his knee and you think, oh, it just felt like one of them things. It was kind of, it was similar to the season we lost all the centre-backs in many ways, in the respect that they weren't all in the same position, but we couldn't catch a break when it comes to injuries. We just couldn't get everyone fit at the same time. So having this little prolonged rest period now, which is what it is with the international, and too many players are going, in my opinion, but some players aren't going away, which is obviously great news, Thiago being one of them. So having this little break now, and people were getting frustrated with the performances and the lack of quality that we were showing. So having this break has come at the ideal opportune moment for me.
And we'll talk about some of the players who haven't gone and who's going to be featuring in a second, Steve. But Neil Jones said something interesting on GNO Insight to Paul a couple of weeks ago, and he said it feels like the fans are knackered as well because of how many games we got to last season, played every game, got to a final. You know, anyone who was in Paris was already a little bit disillusioned with football after that for the obvious reasons. It felt like even this season, even us lot were a bit, and listen, it's our job and we're always up for it as best you can, but I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a little bit like Groundhog Day. It was, oh my God, we've only just finished and we're back playing it. By the end of June, the friendlies were back on again and we were in here going, what has happened there? Like, I feel like we as a fan base, even like, and because of the season has been a bit of a slog so far, you can't get away from that. The results have not been good enough. It feels like even the fan base is quite happy to just go and breathe and chill. It feels like, again, usually we're all moaning at the footy. Where's the footy? Where's the footy? But I feel like, again, it might be different maybe in a week or two's time. But personally, I don't know, I've been glad of this break, just from a mental point of view, just that everybody relax a little bit.
Yeah, so recharge your batteries time, isn't it? Because we didn't get the opportunity to do that in the summer. You're quite right. We were back in here doing watch-alongs for the pre-seasons before we knew it. And that's had an effect on the players. It's transcended itself onto the pitch and back into the stands. I think everyone feels a little bit flat at the moment. We came so close to like sort of iconic status that would never be repeated ever again.
We were minutes away from the greatest season there's ever been.
Exactly.
In terms of, again, the Villa thing and then obviously the final. I still maintain, I think if we'd have won the league, I think we'd have won the European Cup.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And the fallout from going into that situation where you can end up with all four, and you shouldn't say this, but there are fans that think we only got the domestic trophies. That has an impact because we were so close and everyone was fully invested 110%. It was draining to watch at times, wasn't it? So we've not really had the opportunity to sort of reset the clock and rebalance ourselves and have a break. We're getting one now, and obviously we'll get one again during the World Cup in November, but I think this is a good time for everybody. There are 12 players gone away, which is not helpful, but you know, at the end of the day, we get to draw a breath and reset and start again when we come back.
Yeah, and the thing is, Dan, I suppose, mate, is that you mentioned before there's a lot of players. Like, if you're one of the best teams in the world, you're going to lose your players to international. There's just no bones about it. Very, you know, City are going to lose a billion players, and Real Madrid, like, that's what happens to the big teams. You just lose your players.
Yeah.
So who's definitely gone on international duty? We've got Ali, Van Dijk, Trent, Kostas, Fab, Harvey Elliott's gone with the England under-21s. Salah, these are senior players, by the way. Loads of the young lads have gone. But Salah, Diaz, Jota, Darwin Nunez, Bobby Firmino's been called back up to Brazil, which was a half a shock, but fair enough. Mm-hmm. And then we found out today Henderson's been called up by England. The horrendous ill feeling of, oh my God, someone's going to get injured aside, which you'll never get rid of in international footy. It feels like some of them actually could do with the games, Dan. So I'm in particular, I'm thinking Jota, Nunez, and even Jordan. Henderson, could they haven't played for a while? Their first game back, it won't be. I know Jota and Nunez have been in and off the bench, but they haven't played 90 minutes before. If they can build up some legs over with their national team, and especially Jordan, who hasn't played for 3 weeks, touch wood, but that's where the positives can come in international. Like Jürgen apparently was happy to let Jordan go.
Yeah.
Because we're like, well, Jürgen's games, go and play. Again, Jota hasn't been able to play 90 yet. Darwin Nunez hasn't really done 90 minutes for us. And again, the suspension done him a little bit, but it does feel like those three in particular could do them well to get some games again, provided they don't get injured.
Yeah, that is the ultimate positive way of looking at it. That's like ultimate glass half full, isn't it? And I agree with you, and it could work out superbly, and I would personally take that standpoint as well, being a positive Liverpool fan, that those players will get minutes that they need, particularly Jordan Henderson. He will come back and he'll be ready to go for us, because We do miss him. We miss his leadership skills. We certainly miss him from a defensive standpoint on the right-hand side of midfield. There's absolutely no two ways about that. But for me, I think there's obviously that overriding concern with all of them players, particularly Jota and Henderson, is that their injuries have kind of been recovered recently. Jota obviously gets back from his ankle problem and then does something else pretty much straight after, and you think, oh, could really do with him not. We've only just seen him. Like, we've just seen him the other day start for the first time, and he's brilliant, and he set up the goal for Salah, and you think, God, we have missed Diogo Jota. Then he goes away, so there is obviously that nagging concern that something's going to happen. Like, he's going to start one of these Nation League games, and he's going to pick up whatever. So that's the overriding feeling there. Henderson the same. Like, I tweeted this morning from obviously our account that we haven't seen him since 31st of August. Hasn't kicked the ball in anger. Hasn't played a minute's worth of footy. And yet, it feels like he's just got his hamstring right and he's back in the England squad. That's a frustration from my point of view, because I don't really understand. He's obviously not picking on form there. He's picked Henderson, which is a credit to him for his leadership qualities. Obviously, he's picked him because he likes him being part of the squad, which is superb. And fair dues to Jordan Henderson.
He's going to go to the World Cup. So I think Southgate's gone. You're going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
You're fit. Come, get in. Especially with Calvin Phillips being injured as well.
100%. Yeah, which is great from his point of view. But like I say, from a fitness and a solely Liverpool perspective, I do worry about that because I just think, oh, I don't want him to break down while he's there. You know what I mean? But I totally agree on the Nunes point, by the way. I think Nunes going away, being part of the international setup, being part of his compatriots and his friends, and potentially scoring a couple of goals, is by far and away the best thing that could have happened.
I think the Henderson situation, you're right, you know, he needs time, he needs to train. He will train with us anyway, so if he's going to break down, he's going to break down with Liverpool or England, irrespective.
I take your
point. Yeah. I think he's a 20-minute scenario for Henderson in these games, because I think the go-to will be Rice and Bellingham, and then he'll come on and sort of see out the end of the game, which will be important, because this is another player that sometimes needs a couple of games to find his rhythm, and he's a really key part of the team in terms of the defensive responsibility and the leadership. So you're 100% correct, Dan. He is like the ideal guy to have in and around your squad, because he knows how to conduct himself, he knows what to say, he knows when to say it, and his leadership qualities are immense. And you're right, Steve, there's no way this guy doesn't go to the World Cup. So if he goes with Klopp's blessing, that's great for us, because it means he comes back and he's sharper and he's closer to match fitness.
That's the thing, he's going to play. He's going to have games. And he could. There was talk, wasn't he? He probably would have been in and around the Chelsea game. Mm-hmm. If that game, he probably wouldn't have been, he'd have been on the bench. So he could do it from games, and if he comes back and he's good to go. I always feel like when someone comes back from injury, you never see someone start. It's just, I don't know if it's manager, if it's medical team, Dan, but they always go, get on the bench. Or, you know, I mean, I'll give you 20, and then the next game you'll start maybe, but you'll do an hour. Mm. It could be like England could be giving him the 20 so that he can start. If Jürgen wants to use him against Brighton, he might not. But if he's played a couple of cameos for England and he's trained with them for a week and a bit, again, if provided it doesn't break down, which is the ultimate thing here, you can walk in against Brighton and you've got no worries. If he hasn't played those matches, you're half thinking, oh, a bit of a gamble.
Yeah, he wouldn't start against Brighton were it not for this international break. There's absolutely no two ways about that. And it worked out. That's the ideal scenario. It could work out perfectly from our perspective. And that would be what I would like to see happen. Like Steve says, I'd like to see him play a couple of cameo roles for England and get his minutes under his belt, come through, you know, clean slate and go again when he comes back to us then. That's ideal. There's no two ways about it. And you're right. Like, nobody ever starts when they come back from injury. That's just not how it works. Like, footy just doesn't work like that. And whether that's right or wrong, but I think it's a concern element, there's always that element of risk. If you start someone and they do break down after 15, 20 minutes, like, that looks really bad on the manager and even the medical team. And obviously you're then forced into an early change, whereas if you do it later, it's not so much of an impact on what you're trying to do. So, but yeah, I think I do hope all of them obviously come through unscathed. And the Alexander-Arnold one is an interesting one because form-wise, we always kind of cry out for him to be involved and why is he not involved? But form-wise, you'd have to say it's an interesting pick, really, I suppose. But he's another one who could actually benefit from this little break and maybe have a good couple of games being part of the England set-up and come back like Nunes, sort of renewed confidence-wise.
We've got Harrison in the chat. He says, it also gives Hendo more time to chat Jude Bellingham up, yeah.
That is true. That's a great show.
Go and fix the tie again for him, Jordan. Yeah. In terms of the players who haven't gone to the... So, first-team players. Adrian Pitaluga, obviously. You've got Matip, who's retired. Joe Gomez, Nath Phillips, Thiago, James Milner, again, retired. He'll probably get a game for England, maybe. Maybe not. Arthur, Bacetic, Carvalho, and then we found out that Naby Keita's not going. I don't think there was ever any real doubt about that one. Of those, the main two, and it's the reason I put them on the thumbnail of the show, is that it's Matip and Thiago. They are two lads who you need to manage the minutes off. Yay, basically, just yay. Like, the fact that we've had them and then they can have a break, and then, like, it's almost like topping the tank up again. Because at some point, if you play four league games on a run, there's no way, I don't think Matip and Thiago play 90 minutes in all of them. But if they play Ajax and then they have a break and then you come back for Brighton and they might get Rangers out of them, like, it does feel like you're topping the tank up on those two because they are such big players. They're the best two players on the pitch against Ajax the other night. There's no coincidence Liverpool look a million times better. Older, like Thiago is still available. Matip, Spain just have chosen not to select him. Again, good for us, bad for him. But again, those two in particular, just getting another couple of weeks and topping the legs up could be massive. Because after the break, Liverpool, again, it's going to be relentless.
Yeah, it's going to be hectic. I think with regards to those two guys, Matip and Thiago, they're doing strengthening and conditioning work in the gym to rebuild the muscles that are the problems for both of them. Particularly Thiago's injury was a muscular one. But you look at the rest of that and you wonder what actually you can do as a squad to enhance and improve what we do going forward. You can work on passages of play to a degree. Pitaluga trains with us but plays with Macclesfield, doesn't he? So nothing will change for him. Adrian is Adrian. He'll just come in when you need him. Good to see, you know... Is Kelleher training again now? No, he's still injured, isn't he?
He's close.
Yeah. But Gomez, there's a bit of work to do with Gomez, more from a psychological, for me, than a physical point of view, because the first half of Napoli was bad and you need to spend some time reinforcing him and building him up again, because he'd have known that was bad. He probably took his shirt off on the way in knowing he wasn't coming out again for the second half. The Nat Phillips thing's neither here nor there. He's a squad player, isn't he? And Arthur's an interesting one, because Arthur, fair play to him, put his hand up to get involved this week in another game. But we'll be working on his conditioning, because let's be honest, he was in shocking state when he turned up, wasn't he, in terms of his physicality and how he looked. He's a million miles away from sitting in the centre midfield of Liverpool.
Apparently so, yeah.
Physically.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know if you guys watched it, obviously on Expert Insight, when we signed Arthur, it was Andy Brassel who Paul spoke to him. It's available now on Redman Plus. Go and have a watch or listen to it. And it was mentioned by some in Barcelona that, like, he quite liked the Barcelona nightlife, you know what I mean? Like, because he wasn't playing, it was like, well, fuck this. Why wouldn't you, by the way, going down the Rambles at 2 a.m.
You can see him down there.
It's brilliant. So I can get it. So maybe again, he just needs matches. It was interesting that him, Carvalho and Nath Phillips all played for the 21s at Leicester at the weekend. Again, he's another one. I don't know where we're at with him, Martin, but he's one down there. He might have half an eye on the World Cup still. I know it's mad to say that, but he's probably thinking that's his motivation. Not only get back and get playing some footy, but who knows? Like, Bobby, they've just called Bobby Firmino back up and things like that. And it might be, yeah, we're going to see him at some point, I guess. I don't think this is going to be a Ben Davies where we just never see him. And I might be wrong on that, but at some point, Arthur's going to play. You'd like to think so. So yeah, you're right. This is a good couple, again, another couple of weeks for him just to really build it up, because he needs to prove that he's physically capable of playing for us before he does anything.
It's definitely a fitness thing with him. Like, we're talking about a calibre. You mentioned Ben Davies there. Like, with all due respect to Ben Davies, he was always a bit of a surprise stopgap signing. With Arthur, we're talking a completely different calibre of football. Like, this man cost £60 million nigh on a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? We're talking a different ball game altogether. But in terms of it, his sort of attributes and the qualities he can bring to Liverpool have all there, but there's no doubt about it. Like, he looked a million miles off it, pace and fitness wise. But that's not really a detrimental statement towards him. He just hasn't played a lot of football. Like, if he's been spending too much time down at La Ramblas eating paella, then that's a different conversation. But for me, it just looked like a lack of football, and he just like not like he was ready. So this 2 week break again for him has come at the ideal time. He was never going to be included in the Brazil stuff for this one. So for him, and credit to him, because it would have been easy, especially on loan, somewhere you've just joined, it might have been easy for him to go, do you know what? No, I'm going to go and spend time with my family. I'm going to go to Florida, back to Barcelona, whatever it may be.
Well, he sorted my life out. He's probably got stuff in his house in Turin, hasn't he? He's boxing off.
A couple of runs, a couple of runs with the lobby. But no, fair dues to him for saying, no, you know what? I'm going to stick around. I'm going to prove my worth. I'm going to get fit and play for the 21s. Because not many sort of high-end international footballers like he has been, not many would have done that. And it's a credit to him for doing so. And I hope we do see some of him moving forward. And I assume we will. And I think he could have a part to play, because we were crying out for that extra body in midfield, and he's here now. We just need to get him fit.
Even if he is the half an hour in a game to just rest someone, like the absolute worst case, you've still got to be of a level. You know what I mean? Like, even if it is, well, Fab needs half an hour or anyone, because I know he's not really a DM, but you'd imagine he might be comfortable-ish playing as a six in a game that Liverpool are comfortable in. Mm-hmm. But if he's got to go and spell somebody, that's the absolute worst case. The best case is he's just brilliant and he refines the form that persuade the Barcelona to pay all that money for him. But again, coming in really, very late in the window, and he's not stupid, he'll know he was an afterthought, because, you know, he was available all the time. If Liverpool wanted him, they could have got him day one of the summer. So he knows the lay of the land. But like I say, it's a good chance for him now over these couple of weeks to really cement himself in it. And like I say, put himself, because with all due respect again to a lot of players playing for Liverpool at the moment, I don't think really, Thiago aside and potentially Harvey Elliott, no one in that midfield is covering themselves in glory, really. Yeah. There's a spot to be won. Thiago's untouchable when he's fit, but you've got, again, minutes. The rest of them, and I include Fabinho in this, who hasn't had a really good start to the season, in my opinion. Nobody's at their peak level best where you're thinking, how do I get in here? There's a chance for him if he can prove it.
Well, there's a player in there, because this is a guy they bought to sort of, when the Xavi Iniesta cycle was coming to an end, to go and sit in the midfield with Busquets and be a conductor of football, if you like. They were happy for Thiago to go to Bayern Munich. They didn't see him in their long-term plans. They brought this lad in. Mm-hmm. He settled in, he played a few games, and then he decided he liked the nightlife and things like that. It didn't work out for him. He goes off to Juve to join one of about 45 centre midfielders that they do every summer. Would have found that difficult. He could actually be sitting there right now thinking, okay, my career's not gone great. This is the last chance saloon.
At a big club, you think. The next move for him is a Europa League team.
He's downwards.
This is probably his last chance at, like, because this is the third one. Barca, Liverpool, Juve. This is like the third elite footy team. It might be last chance.
There's not going to be anyone else. If it doesn't work at Liverpool,
he's playing Europa League footy at best, isn't he?
Probably. Your big clubs like PSG, who typically go looking for players, are not going to knock on the door and say, it hasn't worked at Barca, it hasn't worked at Juve, his loan spell at Liverpool was uninspiring. Tell you what, we'll take a punt on him. He's going to end up at somewhere like Hoffenheim or somewhere like that. You know, no disrespect to them, but a side that will get into Europe but have no real expectations. That's damning on your career. So this is his opportunity to turn it round.
Absolutely. In terms of the injured players, Dan, and we'll move on to that, because, again, another couple of weeks to get some of these back. And it sounds like the news is coming out, are that a few of them quite close. Kelleher's probably the closest one to being back. Mm-hmm. Again, touch wood doesn't really affect us in terms of anything. He'll have his eye on that Derby County game in November. Ibu, we're thinking, is starting to train after the break, so it could be a while, but a big one there, definitely, for sure. Andy Robbo, we're not 100%. It was a knee injury, but Jürgen said after the international break, so again, fingers crossed that's one for him. Calvin Ramsey is doing some training. Again, he's like a figment of our imagination at the moment. The only time I've seen him is laughing his head off on the sidelines when Darwin Nunes is giving us the beans against Newcastle. And then Oxlade-Chamberlain is a bit longer, Keita's a bit longer, and then this strange Curtis Jones thing that we're not 100% sure, but in theory, Kelleher, Robbo and Ramsey could be available for selection. Canate could be close as well. It's again, and we don't really know with Curtis, it's only Ox and Naby, you're looking at the middle of October, apparently, before they can train, but the squad's starting to pad out. Provided everyone else can stay fit, keep going back to it. But none of those lads, Robbo aside, really, I wouldn't say any of those are first choice players. Ibu might argue that with me, and who am I to argue with him?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue
that. I wouldn't argue anything with him.
He wins.
He could tell me the sky is pink and green, and I go, yeah, if you say so, big fella. But it's the bench and the backup and the rotational options, right? Oh, Matip needs a rest. Okay, here's Big Ebu.
Yeah.
All right, you know what I mean? Like,
no, 100%, yeah, and the bench has been that thin at times this season. It's something we've had to speak about, and it's something we've mentioned quite a lot, like the two goalkeeper situation we've touched on numerous times.
That's mad, isn't it?
What's so frustrating about it is that
Harvey Davis is getting win, but well, I say win bonus, we haven't won any, but got a couple of bonuses, hasn't he?
And he's getting experience by travelling with the squad all the time, and that's obviously great, but it's not ideal for us, especially when we've sort of campaigned, or Jurgen Klopp has been a leading campaigner for five subs for so long. We get it, and we can't make any use of it. It's no good to us so far this season because we haven't had the options there. Like, I'm going to harp back again to Manchester United game, but we had no options to change that game off the bench. The only one who half did was Fabio Carvalho, and he did do well when he came on. But with these players coming back, we could potentially have four players, whether it be Tsimikas for Robbo, he could come on and change it. Calvin Ramsey, like you say, unknown quantity. We don't know a lot about him yet. But the way Trent's been playing, well, Klopp's actually been making that right-back substitution without Ramsey being there. He's been giving it to Milner, and he's been sort of chopping and changing that way. So having Ramsey available could be a huge bonus to what Jurgen Klopp's trying to do. And Kanate is an interesting one because without forgetting you've got him, we've almost forgot we've got him because he hasn't played at all. Like, it was our Strasbourg game we watched, and there he went off, and we all thought, oh no, here we go. But you say there that, you know, they're not first choice. There's a big argument to say that he was at
Well, he started
season.
The Champions League final, exactly. Where you pick your best teams, where you met him. He could be Jürgen's first choice.
Yeah, he started the biggest games last season, didn't he? Like, all the time. It was not strange, but Matip started, like, more consistently. But then when it was a big one, FA Cup semi-final, Kanate was in.
Champions League
like
final.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So there's some interesting choices there, but there are also, like, I'm looking at the injury list there now, and there's some really frustrating ones for me. Like, Ox, we know about that. But Keita, again, Curtis Jones, he bewilders me, his injury problem. Like, how many times does he have these things?
Apparently, Steve, again, what Jürgen was saying, it was in his press conference, wasn't it? It's something to be like growing, and it's like a stress fracture of the tibia. And again, young people can get this, and especially him, because when they have a growth spurt and the body doesn't quite catch up. I think Stevie G had this with his back
for a while when he was younger.
Like, it can happen. But again, he's another one,
isn't it?
He always seems to be injured at the wrong time, because there was a chance there for Curtis to go and play 3, 4, 5 games on the run, and he's never been able to really do it. Lockdown season, he did, and actually, I think that's when we saw the best of him, because he had consistently played when he's in and out of sides. And I think it's fair to say he's another one who hasn't nailed it. He hasn't just made himself undroppable. It must be very frustrating for him, but also very frustrating for everyone around Liverpool, because it's one of those things, seemingly, you just can't do nothing about it. It's just got to run its course.
Well, this was a big season for Curtis for me, because we're going to make changes to the midfield in the summer. And this was his opportunity to say, you can include me in that, because I've delivered across the season for you when you asked me to. Yeah. And it's going to be November before we probably even get a look at him in a Liverpool shirt this year. It really, really highlights the fact that Arthur's in the squad and trying to get fit, because if you look at the last three names on that list, unfortunately this season, we've not been able to count on those guys. Ox, for obvious reasons, Keita, because we don't know, and Jones, because niggly little injuries that make him unavailable. So Arthur has a big role to play, and he's filling three shirts there. He's covering three players. You're 100% correct about Ramsey. What is he? What do we know about him? Not much. If we're going to do the 60-30 thing with the fullbacks, because Klopp has come out and said he likes the energy in the last 30 minutes, tailor-made for him to come
in. Big role.
Big role for him to come in. The Kanate one, you said at the time in the Strasbourg game you thought that was a bad injury, and it turned out to be that, didn't it? So, and obviously, you know, for when Adrian has had to step in for Keller, he's done okay. He hasn't got a big howling mistake in him in it so far. But he's done okay. You know, he's not covered himself in glory, but he's done okay. But the first four names on that list, Callagher, Kanate, Robertson and Ramsey, if you can put them back in your match day squad, it changes everything. We don't need to be getting to 75 minutes. We're looking for a spark, and we bring James Milner on. That just doesn't work, does it? So we need many more options, and getting those four guys back in and some of the other players fit. It's a shame about Jones, because this was the season he needed to show us what he was worth.
Yeah, but again, he's 21. There's a lot of time ahead of him, Dan, but also there isn't, because Steve's right. We all think, and we've been saying, who knows, but we all think that Liverpool are going to reinvent their midfield a little bit. Mm-hmm. Ox is going to go. Yep. Milner, I mean, we keep saying this, but probably. Would you be Naby, as it stands, won't have a contract, so he's going to go. Mm-hmm. Arthur Melo's on loan.
Yep.
Who knows? Like, there's an option to buy, but he's got to prove he's worth buying. Curtis, there shouldn't be any question marks, but there is. Mm. You mean like the rest of them are going to stay? So Fab stay and Elliot stay and Thiago stay and Henderson stay. They're all going to be around, and you Curtis should be in that mix. He might end up being in it just because you don't want to be changing five or six midfielders in one. So it's too much to do. But it's fair to say there was an opportunity for him to go and become a first team regular because Harvey Elliott's doing it and he's older than Harvey Elliott. He's been in Liverpool longer. Yeah. Fabio Carvalho usurped him, I think, in the pecking order. And that can happen when you're not playing. It must be really frustrating for him. Mm-hmm. But also, like I say, for Liverpool, I don't think Liverpool know, and I might be wrong, I don't think Liverpool know exactly what they've got in Curtis Jones. I don't think he's nailed on to be here for 5 years. You just can't say that. Everyone will categorically agree Elliott's here to stay. Yeah. He just is. Trent, after the year, you're like, yeah. Curtis is 21 now, and you can't say that about him. This should have been the time when he come and announced himself, and he just hasn't been able to do it. And like I say, sometimes you get bad luck with injuries, and that's what does your career, or makes and breaks things. But yeah, really by now we should know. Yeah, Curtis, he's either good enough or he's not. Mm-hmm. And we just don't know at the moment because of the injury another injury situation.
Yeah, it's a story as old as time, isn't it, in terms of injury sort of curtailing development of young players. And it is getting towards a time where you think Curtis Jones might be another one of them. It's very unfortunate to say, but you've both alluded to it there. He's had opportunities whereby you think there's a chance for him to sort of nail down his place and get a good run of football. But it was an eye injury last year, wasn't it?
That's mad, like a poke in the eye or something.
Yeah. And then there's something else this year. And again, unavoidable things in many ways. You almost feel sorry for him that they're happening to him, but at the same time, from like a blanket sort of, no, we need him, it's not happening at all from a Liverpool perspective. And you're right, Elliott and Carvalho are ahead of him in the pecking order, whether he's fit or not right now. And that must be frustrating for him because he is older than them two. He should be the one leading the way. He should be the one sort of taking them under his wing and going, oh no, I'll bed you into the side. Don't worry, I've done it before. I've made my breakthrough. I'll look after you. But he's not getting to do that because he's not fit enough and he's not available enough. There are big changes coming in the midfield. I think we've all seen that. We all know that. There's going to be midfield signings. And Curtis Jones, much like Naby Keita, I don't think Naby Keita's playing enough football to warrant a new contract. I've said it since day one. I don't see it happening right now. Curtis Jones needs to be playing a lot of football between now and the end of the season to warrant his place in the side. Otherwise, he is in danger of being forgotten about. And we're not. I think Jurgen Klopp's a big fan of his. I think he's got a lot of faith in him. One issue he has got is his positional transition, because obviously we play a very much set system that might alter in the future, but we play a set system. Now, he's a winger, much like Harvey Elliott, has been transformed into a midfielder. I think he's done it okay. I don't think he's done it as well as Elliott has. He doesn't have the defensive mindset. The same conversations we're having about Elliott on the right-hand side, you could have about Curtis Jones on the left, but I do think he's made that development okay. But there are major concerns there. And would anyone be surprised, really, if we got to sort of May, June next year and he hasn't nailed down a spot and there's talk of him maybe moving on again, because there has been in the past, it wouldn't shock me at all. And it's a shame, more than anything, it is a shame.
He's currently, on a meritocracy point of view, sixth place, sixth choice in midfield. If there's five players in front of him, this is the season when he needed to become the third or the fourth and really be the go-to guy when something fell over in midfield. He will have missed a third of the season by the time he comes back, and you do wonder how he recovers that ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, there's talk about signings and stuff. Like I say, there's a lot to go on here. It feel like I'm hoping to get Curtis Jones back soon, but who knows? Again, this stress injury, more time to heal up, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, hopefully, like I said, taking a break, the international break, hopefully does Liverpool some favours. Fingers crossed, everyone can just stay fit. Right then, after the break, we're going to be talking about this new deal for football that's been reported in the Times. But before we get there, speaking about changes in football and all that kind of stuff, recently Liverpool Football Club announced that it's the setup of the inaugural LFC Supporters Board. And we had Joe Blott, who's the chairman of that board, in for a special interview. So we'll show a little clip of that now, and we'll be back after this break to talk about the new deal for football.
I think the first thing is, Spirit of Shankly, the LDSA, Cop Outs, etc., they will all retain their independence and their right to challenge and hold the club to account on the issues that affect them on a day-to-day basis. So nothing's changed from that point of view. This doesn't dilute, weaken, or anything else, the challenge that those organisations have. What the supporters board does is actually, as you quite rightly said, sort of gel things together at a strategic level. So a couple of examples of that, clearly, if we pick on ticketing is the biggest issue that any of us face for a whole host of reasons, whether that's access, whether that's £9 tickets for kids, whether that's local access, whether that's credits, ways, all of those things. what happens is that we tend to have those conversations on an incremental basis. So it's when the issue arises that we then have a conversation. And of course, as we all know, you know, you stand down on the lump in the carpet and another lump appears somewhere else.
It's reactive, so not proactive.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. And I think that's what the strategic opportunities that we now have mean, that we can use the working groups, the fan forums that will be working to the supporters board, can actually pull a lot of the work together now. And that's where then the role of the chair and the vice going to meet with the board on a regular basis. Means that we can take those issues and say, look, where do you want to be in 3 years' time? Where are you taking us? Because this is where the ticketing strategy needs to go to. This is where the access strategy needs to go to. This is where the disability strategy needs to go to. So it just gives us that leverage, really, not only to hammer out details on a day-to-day basis, but to actually influence the club going forward.
There you go. If you want to watch the full expert insight with Joe Blott on Spirit of Shankly, and of course the new chair, his role as the new chair of the supporters board as well, that is streaming right now on Red Men Plus, both in video and podcast form. Really interesting points, exactly what the board's going to do, what it can change, what it can help going forwards, and of course Joe and the guys at Spirit of Shankly, the roles that they're going to continue to do for Liverpool supporters from now until pretty much forever, really. Yeah, go and check that out, redmenplus.com. Speaking of changes off the field and all that kind of stuff, Dan, I'll come to you then. It was reported over the weekend in the Times that the new deal for football that we've been talking about for a while, kind of set up to address the balance between financially between the EFL and the Premier League and all this kind of stuff. But obviously there's going to be some give and takes, and the EFL want more money and the Premier League want X, Y and Z. I suppose let's talk about some of the headline news from that potential thing. And again, these are just proposals, nothing's confirmed yet, and there's a meeting tomorrow at time recording to discuss more of this. But I suppose the one that stood out was from 2024, they're potentially going to scrap their third and fourth round FA Cup replays entirely. We'll talk about that one first, because apparently the pushback was the FL clubs might not want that because of obviously the chance to draw and get a bigger away game. But actually, apparently, again, according to the Times, that some EFL clubs are going, actually, no, one game might be better for us in terms of advancing to the next round of the competition. Are we more likely to beat Liverpool over two legs, or can we scrape a 0-0 and get them to penalties? So I suppose that was the first one. It does feel like, as it stands, the replays are on for the third and fourth round this year. They've been scrapped from the fifth round forwards. It's crazy, I understand. But right this second, they haven't made a decision about this season yet. But it does feel like the replay system is probably on its way out now.
Yeah, I think it's been made easier by obviously when we were playing in sort of COVID circumstances with all football being congested, the whole fixture schedule got changed and obviously replays were gone in that instance. So it has given them, it's like when we've had these recent postponements, almost all this what's happened over the last few years has given football like a view into what could be, and I think this is part of that. They're looking at what could happen and how we could make more money, because the EFL in particular has obviously been hit hardest by all this, because Premier League is always okay because of the overseas money that they get from TV, right? It's obviously out of this world, and it's always going to be okay because of it. But EFL clubs in particular have to find different revenue streams and different money spinners, and obviously replays are part of that, especially if you can get a big club back to your place. But I also understand the argument that if you could beat them over one game, then that's obviously, because we've obviously ended up just scraping past a few teams over replays, and last Shrewsbury springs to mind as well. And so there are different ways of looking at it. For me, I'm a bit, obviously a Liverpool fan, but I'm a bit of a traditionalist when it comes to all this sort of stuff. A big fan of the FA Cup. I wouldn't want to see the League Cup go. I know a lot of European countries have got rid of that second competition. I personally wouldn't do that. There are ways around it, and I think losing replays could be a good way of doing it, of reducing the schedule a little bit. I think my only concern with that is I would still like to see, monetary-wise, a benefit for the lower clubs. I don't see the benefit in Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea, whoever it may be, getting half the money or even, you know, even less than that out of one of these games.
At a minute, it's 50-50, isn't it, regardless?
That's what I mean. Yeah. And I actually don't think that's fair. Especially if you get rid of replays. I think, say we got Grimsby at Anfield, for argument's sake, in the FA Cup third round. and there's no chance for replay. Say they were to draw the game, but we won on penalties, and Grimsby walk away with 50% of that money. That doesn't sit well with me. I don't see how that's right.
Well, like, 50% of that money
is a lot of money.
Is greater than the prize money for advancing to the next round. But there's a caveat there, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah. But that prize money for advancing to the next round means the world to Grimsby. That keeps the lights on for an extra 12 months at Grimsby. You know what I mean? But if we can just give them 75%, 100% of that gate receipt, or whatever it may be, I don't know. I don't get their money. So an FSG might have a different thought on that altogether. But at the same time, what is only small fry to us means absolutely everything.
That's where this
to a
comes.
Club
I
like
think
that.
The flip side is that's the point. So there's talk that as part of these changes, it will involve giving more money.
Has to.
That's the fact. Because the government have said if it doesn't happen, then there'll be government intervention to make it happen. I think the EFL won like £250 million more pounds or something like crazy. So I think the point is, well, we're going to give you this money. We need something back in return. And maybe, again, the replays, there was also talk about FA Cup being played in midweek, but I think that's kind of been vetoed. I don't think that's something they wanted. The League Cup one's the interesting one. Dan kind of touched upon it on there. There's no desire. The top five clubs will not push for the League Cup to be scrapped. However, there is talks, Lee, that teams who are in Europe either don't go in it or will play an under-21 side in it. For me, if that's the case, then you just get rid of it. You're either in it or you're not in it. For me, it makes no sense. Like, with all due, like, Liverpool under-21s or not, or, like, you know, say City. So this year, there'll be no City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal, Man United and West Ham. That's whoever wins that, with all due respect, like, it's like, yeah, well done, but you didn't really. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm a boxing fan and they have these, like, made up belts because the champion's busy fighting someone else, or they bring this new belt in, and it's like, well, I'm the world champ. Well, actually you're not, because the world champ's, you know, it's Canelo. It just happens that you're just like, there's some whatever. It feels a little bit like that. You're either in the League Cup or you're not. I don't know what you, I disagree with the whole point of either European sides aren't in it or you play under 21s. It's either a competition for the English Football League clubs or it's not.
I'm with you, and if you look at the point we just discussed about the whether we have replays and gate seats and all that stuff, point two actually undermines point one in the regard that, say we drew Tranmere, for instance, and it was at Prenton Park, and we turned up with the under-21s, it'll boost their gate, but it won't boost it the same way it would if we turned up with the first 11.
Not at all, no.
So point two actually undermines point one for me. So I'm with you, Steve. If that's the case, then maybe we make the League Cup for Division 1 and below, or something like that. Because at the end of the day, Championship clubs, hardest league in the world to get out of, don't always welcome the distraction of a League Cup run, because they want to get their league campaign and their league form up and running and have an opportunity to make it the £150 million games to get in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. That, for me, if you just put the under-21s in there, devalues the competition.
It's that Papa John's thing that no one gives a fuss about, isn't it?
Exactly, right.
It's already happening, that. It's already a thing.
You kind of, but also you don't, because it is under-21s to an extent, but it's also your reserve. At least it's your reserve players. That's not really going to happen if it's the 21s. You know, you might be able to sneak one or two in there, but yeah, there'd be a bit...
Look at the Villa game, and we went and played the World Club Championship and we got absolutely walloped. And was that fun for any of the spectators in there? For the hardcore Villa fans, yeah, because it's a
Ahmed
big...
Ahmed Al-Mohammedi enjoyed it, didn't he?
He celebrated like he won
That was his Marco Targaryen moment. So at the end of the day, who benefited from that
game? You are right. That would happen quite frequently as well, because Liverpool under-21s could easily get drawn away to Aston Villa, Leicester, whoever it may be, and that's no good.
It's not good to watch. It's a poor spectacle.
Undermines it, yeah.
It's a poor spectacle. I suppose the best thing with the EFL, if it's toward the League Cup, is just get rid of them the two legged semi final. Fuck that off, and then that'll help, because more teams. I still maintain that one of the reasons teams aren't arsed is because they look at the January and go, just be arsed kind of thing. I think that's one of the reasons a lot of teams don't try and win it, because they just haven't got the squads for it. The interesting thing I wanted to speak about this one. There's talk about clubs being limited to spending a fixed percentage of their revenue in a calendar year on player wages, transfers and agent fees. Kind of like UEFA's FFP, but like a Premier League / English football owned one. However, the top flight will only agree to that if the EFL do the same. So again, fair enough. So it's essentially, you can't spend what you don't earn, although, again, Manchester City have got the greatest commercial team in the world, so I'm sure they'll find a way to do another amazing deal above market value, because they must have the best commercial team in the world. Fair play to them, absolutely brilliant, well done. That you can get to Dubai to sponsor you and the Emirates, fair play. Like, that must have been some hard graft for you guys, fair fucking play to use. But to talk about the EFL, do you want them to do the same, Dan? Because what the Premier League are saying is, there are some championship teams who spend more on wages than they receive in revenue. Mm-hmm. So basically, you're asking us for more money, but it's because you're paying your staff wages. You can't afford to pay them, your players. You know, there's championship clubs whose wage bills are 120% of turnover, completely unsustainable. And then they're asking, actually, can we have some more money? I think what the Premier League, and I think they're right to say this, is that that's fine. We're going to give more money down to the EFL, but you've got to be financially responsible with your money. There's got to be limits. I think there was talk of 80% revenue spent on between wages, transfers, and agent fees. I can completely understand that, because the reason we're doing all these chats is because there's worry about the EFL teams going bust, and we've seen it happen in the very recent past. Bury doesn't exist anymore because of financial
Derby
stuff.
Derby were close.
Derby were on the brink, and there's teams all the time. We see this a lot, and again, a lot of that is due to bad owners, and it isn't all just this kind of things, but. You can't say, it's like saying, we're spending all our money on wages, give us some more money. It's actually, no, spend less on wages. I can see why the Premier League are saying, we want to make football pyramid more stable and a proper pyramid that props up the Premier League. Well, that's fine, but you guys have got to act responsibly as well.
Yeah, it's in everyone's best interest, isn't it? Because the Premier League don't want to just forever be giving out handouts. And listen, it's an incredibly wealthy industry. There's no two ways about that. But every time anything goes wrong, whether it be in the world or solely in football, they don't want to be the ones who the EFL are coming to and go, because it's Rick Parry, isn't it, at the moment, the chairman. Rick Parry turns to Premier League and go, you need to bail out us again. That's not what the Premier League exists for. The Premier League exists as its own entity to create money for itself, and it gives us the product that we all know and love. The Premier League don't want to be turned around to every 5 minutes with a begging bowl and going, you need to give us this amount of money and this amount of money. So to make it sustainable, this has to happen, because you're right, the Championship has been living on a wing and a prayer for a number of years now, because it's that law of getting into the promised land.
That's it, isn't it?
That's what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that the reason these teams, and again, there's sort of parachute payments cutting down, so like there's no teams aren't just yo-yoing up. Because what's happened is teams got relegated with the parachute payments, they're automatically most likely to come up because they can afford to keep players on big wages, they can afford better transfer fees. So the other teams in the Championship go, the only way we can get up, potentially get up and get that, some of that Premier League big bucks is to spend now. So we're going to go over our wage bill, and then it doesn't happen and they get fucked over. So it makes sense that you reduce the parachute payments, but you say everyone, you can't overspend. And then there'll always be some clubs who can spend more, because that's what happens. You know, you're going to get more people watching Sunderland at home than you are watching Luton at home. That's just the way it is. But for them to say, actually, you get up, we're going to go up and down based upon real numbers and your ability to coach players, rather than, because we are, you know, there are teams, Derby County, for example, we were nearly moments away from losing a team again. Like, it does need looking after. And rather than having to come to the Premier League all the time and go, can I bail us out, can we do something? Actually, the money will drip down. It should, in theory, prop the whole pyramid up from right to the bottom, right to the top, again, provided it works out well.
But it should go towards operating costs, not go in your transfer budget. So if you get given £30 million, for instance, and that's just throwing a figure out there, that doesn't mean you go and pay five players, journeymen from the Premier League, to come and play in your Championship side because you think you can get across the line and get yourself into the Premier League and earn all that money. And it then becomes a risk worth taking. You're right, you should be sustainable. You should not be spending more than 80% of what you earn. In any other business, these businesses are insolvent and they don't survive. But because TV money being what it is and sponsorship being what it is, there's a rationale that when you sit down with the accountants or the people that put you into administration and take your business away from you, you can say, yeah, we might be £25 million in debt, but when the TV rights come next season, we'll redress the balance. In every other walk of life, these clubs would be insolvent as businesses. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to give them, drip feed the money, then you do it into their operating costs, and it needs to be locked away from transfer fees and wages.
I think there was talk then that they're going to do a fund where you can get money for upgrading your ground or doing your training ground, like
exactly
that kind of thing. Where we'll give you can have that, but you can't, again, like you say, you can't spunk it all on wages from trying to get a journeyman into get you.
But they would.
QPR are the worst example of this over the last few years, in my opinion. QPR spent crazy money, and Fulham did to a certain extent a few years ago as well. But QPR really pushed the boat out and obviously suffered on the back of it because they didn't manage to stay in the Premier
League. Salford City doing it now.
Salford City doing it now, but obviously at a lower scale. But QPR were in dire straits, quite frankly, in the Championship because of what they've done. And I wonder how much Forest have kind of done that this time. They've gambled big on staying in the Premier League, haven't they? And it might end up biting them.
In terms of affecting Liverpool, is that it's the cup competitions and we'll see what comes of it. My general point of view is that I would be pro getting rid of the replays. The League Cup thing, you're either in it or you're not. Either everyone's in it or you're not in it. Like, if you're going to scrap it, I wouldn't like that because I quite like the League Cup. But if it becomes a teams in Europe aren't in it or under 21 should be arsed. Like, not for me. But we'll let us know again in the comment section below. Obviously, if you're not watching this live, let us know your thoughts on the domestic cup competition. It'd be interesting to hear the views of people, obviously, who don't live in England. You actually give a toss about the League Cup whatsoever as well? Because, like, the reason I like going is that sometimes
it's easier
to get tickets, yeah. Cheaper tickets, you get to see some players who you don't really... Like, I know a lot of people whose first ever games was a League Cup game because it just become easier, but I get the flip side. In a busy calendar, we've got a reformed Champions League on the way with even more football. I can see why Sutton's got to give. Who knows what it's going to be? My senses, I'll be honest. I'm not sure the League Cup's here forever. I would be shocked if by 2030 it just doesn't exist anymore. It goes the way of the old Cup Winners' Cup and all that. I wouldn't be shocked, but we'll see how that one pans out. Right, before we go, we've got a couple more Discord comments. If you want to join our Discord chat, all you got to do is be a Red Men Plus Club Legend subscriber. One of the perks you get tons of perks. One is the Discord chat. We've got one from Danny, so about, you know, the need for a break. Yes, I agree. I feel like we as fans have been so obsessed with transfers this summer and how the team would shape up, and the fact the season started 3 weeks early, so it felt like there was no break at all. So yeah, he's very much in. And he also says Fernando Torres goes back to another Aston Villa late winner. Torres 9-10 when he scored in the dying seconds in the rain. Yep. That was a very good goal. I do remember what that one as well. So yeah, thank you very much, guys, for getting involved with the Discord, with the live chat as well. Dan, thank you very much. Steve, thank you very much. Hello, guys, thank you as well. German Scousers, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Go and get involved. It's on redmenplus.com. Talking to Jürgen's best mate, Campino. I wasn't aware how big Campino was in Germany until I spoke to some German people. He is absolutely huge. He's a rock star over in Germany, but if you aren't aware of him, he's also the guy who sang songs with Jürgen Klopp after Kiev and then once again after the Champions League win in Madrid. So yeah, he's involved. Talking about the Beatles, footy, German culture, everything. Really, really good. Evo, Sai and all the team have done a great job on that. So yeah, 5 p.m. German Scousers, Wednesday the 21st. Redmenplus.com. If you're watching this now, look at that. Go and click that. Scan that little QR code right there and get involved. If you're listening to this, like I say, redmenplus.com. We're going to have a quick break and then we're going to be over on Plus with Podcast Extra. Basically, Podcast Extra, for those of you who don't know, and I quote, it's the top secret uncensored Redmen show. Basically, the shit that we can't possibly say on YouTube because we might get cancelled. If you want to get involved in that one, come over to Redmen Plus now. We'll be chatting all about it. And like I say, on next week's Extra, we'll be finding out if what happens in Vegas actually stays in Vegas. Until then, I'll catch you all later. Take care.
Thank you so much for that. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want more Red Men in your ears, then consider signing up to redmenplus.com. You get everything that's on the website in video and, if you want it, in podcast form. From £5 a month, redmenplus.com, you get 2 free items of merchandise every single season. If you sign up as a club legend, you get 20% discount codes every single month, exclusive discounts from our partners, as well as your name in the credits and each and every Red Men Plus show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.